Hey CCF, I'm Steve, and I want to continue our series called Life-Giving Words, The Words of Jesus. This has been a great series to be able to walk through together, and I am going to be focusing on Jesus' words that may, on the surface, not seem very life-giving, because they are words of surrender. They are words of surrender. Do you know that today is Flag Day? And maybe when you hear flag, it's not necessarily the flag that you were thinking we would be talking about, but it's this flag, the white flag of surrender. How could a white flag of surrender be life-giving? How could we think that if I'm surrendering my life, which by its very nature is giving up our ideals, giving up our preferences, giving up the things that we hold maybe most dear and close to ourselves. Surrender, the idea of surrender, feels like losing. But Jesus' words, I want you to hang with me, and let's just explore how Jesus' words that are challenging us to surrender our lives, how that could be life-giving. In fact, the idea that I want us to wrestle with today is that a surrendered life allows us to discover life and breathe life to those around us. That is a lot of life, just in that one word, in that one phrase. But I want us to consider how if we surrender our life, how maybe, just maybe, we might be able to discover life and be able to breathe life to those around us. You know, I've seen people wearing shirts that say, "I can't breathe." I've heard people on social media say, "I can't breathe because of the masks that we're being forced to wear." But you know what I think? While those things are very different reasons for why they're wearing those shirts and posting those messages, I think it's indicative of a culture and of a world that is screaming for life. I think it's indicative of a society that is looking for life and is clinging to causes that, while some are good and some maybe not so good, they have the potential to rob us of the life that Jesus wants us to have in Him. If we hold so tightly to the things that we are concerned about, our opinions, our preferences, that maybe those things are keeping us from the type of life that we could have if we surrendered our life to Jesus. And that surrendered life would help us to discover what real life is all about. And maybe we would, if we surrendered our life and discovered where true life came from, we would be able to breathe life into a community of people who are desperately crying out for life. What an amazing opportunity we have to hear Jesus' words in a time like this. So, the life-giving words that we want to look at today are this, that whoever finds or whoever clings to his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Now, you'll notice there isn't a reference here for this passage because it's actually found in multiple Gospels, in Matthew, in Mark, and Luke. This idea is found. But we're going to look at both Matthew and Luke in this today. One of the things that I want to set up for us, though, is the context of why Jesus spoke these words. They came at a time when Jesus is about to unleash his disciples, unleash them to do some of the things that he had already been doing in his ministry, healing the sick, raising the dead, dropping truth bomb after truth bomb of what the kingdom of God was going to be like and who was going to be ushering it in. And there's no doubt in my mind that some of these disciples were excited about this moment because they were on the front lines. They were the generals in command here. They were the ones who were going to be helping Jesus bring his kingdom to earth. They were so excited about the platform, maybe, that this was going to give them to deliver the truth, to practice this type of ministry. And you have to understand that the disciples represented a vast array of society. There was fishermen and there were tax collectors. There were religious zealots and there were probably political zealots in that one group of people, that small group of 12. But Jesus says, and I think knows, that this is the reality. And this is what he does to maybe catch their attention. To say, hey, you think that you are like taking my banner and running with it, running with the flag of Jesus, and delivering it to the message of Jesus to all these towns and cities. But here's what you need to understand. And this is what he says to his disciples. He says, behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Do you think that caught their attention? Because if he's comparing them to sheep and he's saying, I'm going to send you out among wolves, that usually doesn't bode well for the sheep. That's not going to end well at all. So he catches their attention and he reorients them into where their perspective should be. And this is what he says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 38. This verse precedes the verse that I shared earlier. It says, whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Remember I said it's also found in Luke. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, it says, and he said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. We're going to look at both of these verses and how they point to a surrendered life. But let's look at this verse, verse 23, in the New Living Translation. Because I think it captures something that we need to pay attention to. It says, then he said to the crowd, if anyone wants to be a follower, wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily, and follow me. Did you catch that? It's not just denying yourself, but it's denying your selfish ways. It's changing the orientation of where you build your life around. It's no longer about you and your preferences and your ideals or any of the agenda or the affiliations that you tie yourself to. You can't cling to those things. You have to remove all of yourself and take up your cross daily, and follow me. We're going to talk about that idea of taking up our cross daily and following Jesus. But he goes on in verse 39 and he says, whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Those are the life-giving words, but it's a life-giving paradox that Jesus sets up for his disciples, for those who want to follow after him. And it already had sounded like that, because the idea of a cross and taking up a cross, that was usually reserved for criminals. But Jesus says, that's what it's going to look like to follow after me. In the New Living Translation, this verse is translated this way. It says, if you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. Again, in Luke 9, verse 24, it says, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. It's the same exact idea. Do you think it's an important concept for us to know if it's repeated in both Matthew and Luke, and by the way, also in Mark? We're just not going to go there today. And then in the New Living Translation, this is the same idea, that same idea of clinging to is captured in verse 24. It says, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Why is this so important? This idea of if we cling to our life, we in fact could lose our life. Well, I think it goes back to the verse that preceded this one. Because Jesus called us to carry his cross. And we're going to explore what that looks like, of what it means for Jesus to carry the cross. Because remember, the disciples didn't see that yet. The disciples hadn't seen Jesus pick up the cross and take it up to Golgotha, where he would eventually be crucified. They didn't see that. But Jesus is pointing ahead to that, and he's saying, listen, if you want to be about what I'm about, you're going to have to lay aside all those other things because you can't carry all the stuff that you want to carry and carry the load that I have set for you. It's just like when you go to a grocery store or you leave or come back from the grocery store, you can't carry all the groceries at one time. You can't do it and then open the door or unlock the door. You're fumbling for keys and dropping eggs and milk all over the place. That doesn't work. And Jesus is saying, it's not going to work for you to carry the cross that I have set for you to carry, to follow after me, but also cling to or hang on to the life that you came to me with your preferences, with all the things that you want to carry, your selfishness wants to carry. You can't do that. So there are three keys to surrender that I think are found in this passage. And the first key that we need to look at is the idea of focus. Jesus is challenging the disciples to change their focus off of themselves and onto Jesus. And if I'm honest, this is a difficult command. It is a difficult command to take your eyes off of yourself and your own desires, your own preferences, your own agenda, and to put it on Jesus's. And I'm not saying just the things that are easy to remove. When Jesus said, deny yourself and take up your cross, or if you want to lose your life, the command to lose your life, he's not just saying lose some of it, or the parts that are convenient, or the parts that are easy for you to let go of. But he's saying deny yourself. Take you out of the center and put me. Now, I think it's the reason why this is so hard is because it is easy for us to be passionate about something for a short period of time. That's why it's easy to rally around causes for a moment. And that moment might be for a day or a week or maybe even years. And it's easy to tie yourself to that one thing. But Jesus was calling us to take up our cross daily. And there's a pastor that I read just recently, and he was actually speaking at a friend of his funeral. And this is what he says about the idea of surrender. He says, it is not only the martyr on whose bleeding brows the crown of life is gently placed. It is not only the temples that have been torn by the crown of thorns that are soothed by that unfading wreath. He's acknowledging that life is found in those who do give up their life for the sake of Jesus. But he also acknowledges in this next part of this quote the idea of daily surrender. He says, but there is a daily dying, which is continually required from all Christian people and is perhaps as hard as, if not harder than, the brief and bloody passage of martyrdom by which some enter into rest. The call by this pastor is to consider what it looks like to focus and to orient our lives around Jesus in such a way that it's not just a momentary sacrifice, but a daily surrender to his call. Do you see, the disciples, they got to see Jesus surrender so much of who he was. They saw him surrender his time. They saw him surrender his position. They saw him surrender maybe even his health. At times in Scripture, it says that he was exhausted and went away by himself. Jesus constantly surrendered himself. And we see in John 6:35 through 38, we see Jesus talk to the people who are following him. And this is shortly after he had fed the 5,000 people. And the people kept coming back to him. And Jesus says, you know what? I need you to refocus your hearts here. He says to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. Why does he say that? Because they kept coming back for their physical needs. They were more focused. Their focus was on themselves. Their focus was on what their needs were, their preferences were. If Jesus stopped performing all of these miracles, do you think the crowds would have been right there with him? Probably not. They probably would not have been. And he recognizes that and he says, you've seen me, you've seen what I've done, you've seen what I've been about, and your focus still is on yourself. You do not believe. But then he says this, but if you would just surrender your life to me, this is what he says will happen. He says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Do you see the life when you surrender your life to Jesus? He says, when you come to me, regardless of where you're coming from, I will never cast you out. I will always receive you. And he says, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. The reason why Jesus was able to do this and receive so many people and before so many people was because he was following a good and a gracious and a holy God who had a bigger plan than maybe what the disciples had in mind. He was following a God who was for people, who loved people, loved them enough to send his own son to die for them. And Jesus was about that. He was about the will of the Father. And that's, if we want to live a surrendered life, we need to have the same focus. The second key is that we have a perfect example. As you already can tell who that is, it's Jesus. Jesus is our perfect example. He has demonstrated to us what it looks like to live a surrendered life. He wasn't seeking to find his life. He lost his life for the sake of others. He exemplified the call to deny himself, to take the focus off of himself and put it on the will of the Father, and to take up his cross daily and follow him. And maybe some of you are saying, you know, I have seen a lot of people live a good life. They have lived a life of love, and all I need is to be loving to other people. I can do this without Jesus. I can do this without him. And I'd say, yeah, you can show love to other people. But I am challenging you to love in a way that Jesus loved. You see, Jesus, the disciples may have been a little confused by that reference to carrying a cross. But Jesus was turning just the idea of love on its head. Because it wasn't loving for selfish gain. It was loving sacrificially. The reference of the cross was pointing to the fact that Jesus would one day take a cross and die on it for other people. It was a crucifixional love, a lay your life down kind of love that had never been seen before. And if we live a surrendered life, that's the type of love that we are called to show to the world around us. It's the kind of love that has been shown to us. Do you see, when we surrender our life, we get to experience the love of Jesus, a lay your life down kind of love, a crucifixional love that changes our life. It changes the relationship that we have with God. We went from being estranged and apart from God to being united with him because of the sacrifice of Jesus. That changes our life. We discover life anew when we surrender our life to Jesus in that way. In John 13:37, Peter goes to Jesus and he says, Lord, why can I not follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus turns to Peter and he says, no, you won't, Peter. You won't. In fact, in just a short while, you're going to deny me three times. You see, Peter had seen all of the surrendered life that Jesus had lived, but he hadn't seen the type of love, the extent of love that Jesus was about to show on the cross. And Jesus knew that Peter needed to understand that any love that he was going to be able to offer to Jesus or to the world couldn't come from himself. It had to be something that was much greater, much deeper. And he needed to see and witness that type of love himself. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He demonstrated perfect love for you and for me, for the disciples, for all those who threw rocks and threw insults at Jesus. He still laid his life down for him. And many people saw that and said, "Who is this guy? I thought he was supposed to be the king of the Jews. And now he's laying his life down. He's losing his life." But Jesus wasn't losing his life. He was fulfilling his purpose, the purpose that God had set for him. And he was providing life for the entire world. How amazing is that? The third key is that there is a great reward. And the reward is that it brings life wholly and completely. If we live a surrendered life, we receive life wholly and completely with God the Father. If we surrender our life to Jesus, we are able to then give life to those around us because we are sharing the love of Jesus that we personally have experienced with those around us. But if we're holding on to our preferences, if we're holding on to the things that we value most over the people that God has put in our lives, we lose that opportunity. And sometimes when I get really passionate about something, I can just have tunnel vision. And then when I look up finally, I see a wake of destruction. Maybe not physical destruction, but relational destruction in my wake. And that is dangerous. We can't be so for a cause that we hurt people. We can't be so against something that we lose sight of the mission and the call on our lives to love people and to love God. Because if we love God truly and serve Him with all of our being, with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, then we'll be about what He was about. And we'll be able to give life to those around us because that's what He did through Jesus. That's what He did. Let's go back to this verse. It says, "Whoever finds his life will lose it." If you cling to, if you hang on to the life that you are pursuing, this passage is clear. You will lose it. You may not physically lose it, but you may lose relationships. You may lose opportunities. You may lose the opportunity to even to win others for Jesus. But if you lose your life for Jesus' sake, if you surrender your life to Jesus, you will find life. You know, one of the greatest pictures of this, in my opinion, is baptism. And in just a couple of weeks, we're going to be hosting a baptism class, a Discover Baptism, on June 28th, right after our service. And we want to invite you, if you are interested in surrendering your life to Jesus, that is a great first step. Because what is baptism a picture of? It's being baptized, dying to yourself as you go under the water. And as you're raised from the water, what is it doing? What does that symbolize? The newness of life. The hope that we have in Jesus. The life that we've discovered and that we want to share with other people. You know, that is what discovering life is all about. It's not just to revel in it, but to share it, to proclaim it to others. And that's what baptism is all about. And it's what you'll have an opportunity to do if you haven't already in July. So the class is in June and the actual baptism will be in July. You know, I want to remind us what I said at the very beginning, that a surrendered life allows us to discover life and to breathe life to those around us. The challenge is for us to surrender our life to Jesus. It's the first next step that I want us to take. And if you are new, and maybe this is your first time watching, I hope that you will let us know who you are. If you have never place your faith in Jesus, if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, I would encourage you to text us at 401-496-9710 and let us know if you would surrender your life to Jesus, if you would just write trust when you text that number, that would be amazing. We want to know. We want to celebrate with you this surrendered life. But you'll notice here, this first next step, if you're taking this, we want to pray for you in that. But if you're taking this step to surrender your life to Jesus, it's not just surrendering a part of your life. It's surrendering your identity, your purpose, your passions, all of who you are to Him. And what you will find is a new life. A life that is worth sharing. One that you don't need to hesitate in sharing with others. The second next step is that you would commit to seek out ways to surrender your life where you put God and others first. If you need prayer in doing that, I know this isn't easy. That's why it's a challenge. It's a hard thing to do. It's hard to lay aside your own preferences. We want to be the first in line all the time. We want to win. We don't want to surrender. That is not in our nature. But Jesus calls us to seek out ways to surrender our life where we put God first and put others and their needs first as well. The last next step is that you would take the next steps to surrender by pursuing baptism. There will be a link to that Discover Baptism in the comments section of whatever platform you're watching from, or you can text the word baptism as well to that number, 401-496-9710. And if you are wanting just prayer as you're considering these next steps, we would encourage you as well to text the word pray to that number as well. We want you to know we are standing here with you. And if we can be a community that surrenders our lives to Jesus, I think that we have the opportunity not just to discover life together, but to breathe life to a community that desperately needs it. And together we can change our communities for Christ. We can change the world and see a hope, a new hope that rises because of a surrendered life to Jesus. Hey, let me pray for you as we go. God, thank you so much for the example of a surrendered life that you give to us. God, it is a hard thing to consider and to even think about how it is and where it is that we need to surrender our life to you. Or maybe for some people it's not that hard at all. We recognize places where we have pushed people to the side because of our own selfishness. We've stood on a platform instead of pursued the call to deny ourselves and to take up our cross and follow you. God, we pray that we would be a people that pursues you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that that would be demonstrated by how we lay our own lives down, how we surrender our lives for the sake of others. God, I pray that we would be a people that would breathe life to the community around us. God, we love you, and we put our lives in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.